Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 298, part 1, Joy. Today is Friday, June 28th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled, Joy. Well, why don't Christians grow? Because the only way we can grow in Christ Jesus is to die to ourselves and then grow in love. And I think we all want to mature, but you know, the only way that we can mature is to mature in love. No love, no maturity. We may mature in knowledge, but if we're not mature in love, we are for the most part immature human beings. Think about that. We may mature in religious practice and getting our doctrines right. We may take on a more grown-up look, just like we do in the physical. But under pressure, and under trial, and under suffering, we break. No, because the Bible said, love overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered. That's grown-up love. That grown-up love will bring you joy. See, you're not so busy worrying about everything else. We may mature in outlook, but again, if we are immature in love, we are immature. Our maturity is in love or it's immaturity. Grow, the Bible says, grow in love. And I think for the most part, the whole New Testament testifies to that very fact. Nothing can take its place. Even our faith walk, if it doesn't have love, faith works by what? Love. And Jesus says, make love your aim. If you're going to aim at something, aim at love. Aim to attain that. And all heaven, I believe, stood breathless as the scribe asked Jesus this question. Which commandment is first of all? And oh, his answer was so important. Thou shalt love. I so enjoy Jesus when he preaches because he knows how to shut people's mouths. Now, what if he would have picked any other kind of fruit first? Joy or peace or good temper, kindliness, generosity, fidelity, gentleness, or self-control. And we're talking about fruit of the Spirit now. What if he would have picked any of these other ones over love? What if he would have picked joy, peace, I said, good temper, kindliness, generosity, fidelity, gentleness, or self-control over love? I mean, if he would have chosen any so-called good thing instead of the highest thing, then everything in the world would be very much different. Because all the other fruit are just the byproducts of the main product, love, offshoots, if you will. And they can only genuinely work by love. Love is the tree. Now, there are trees. There is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate of that tree, what happened? Well, they had a knowledge. Then the Bible says, lean ye not upon your own understanding, and knowledge puffeth up. No, love is the tree by which the fruit grows on and from. Well, the Bible talks about the vine and the branches. And so today, let's check out the first byproduct. And Friday I ministered on love. The first byproduct, which is joy. Can you imagine this type of joy? Paul and Silas had joy. God laughed so loud that the prison doors were open. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Like David's joy when he danced before the Lord. And David had a lot of problems. Like Elijah had on Mount Carmel. Where is your God? Like the lame man they dropped through the roof, who took up his bed and danced out of the place. How about that for joy? How about the joy of his friends? See, his friends had that love. And the love brought him to the roof and dropped him through a hole. Whoa, and he had that joy. Or like the blind man that couldn't see. Well, I don't know what you guys are talking about. All I know is I can see. All I know is that I'm happy now because I can see. And don't give me all these questions. Don't give me all this legalism. Or like the leper when he was healed. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You ever been healed of something? Never hurt yourself? All the joy when it feels better. Are you hearing this message? Glory to God, hear it. Maybe you'll think I'm some kind of a nut. You're listening on the radio. But all people that are really involved do seem kind of crazy. Well, then the Bible says, be a fool for Christ's sake. Or like the woman healed of the issue of blood. And all of her kids and probably made fun of her and carried on and get out of here. You smell. Go into your own room. Or like the mother of a child brought back to life. Put on something to eat. Let's have a party. Let's break bread. Your daughter is alive. Or like Samson when God gave him power once more. Oh, that'd be a joyful time. Preachers, have you lost your power? You're listening on the radio to this tape. Have you lost your power? Well, that power lies in going on, persevering, going on, and loving it so much that you'll take the ridicule and the slander and all the jams and go ahead with what God has told you to do. I'm talking about that kind of love. Love to duty. And duty that's a joy. Duty that's a privilege. Or like the woman bent over that was healed. Can you imagine? All bent over and just walking around like this and all of a sudden standing up straight. That kind of joy. Like Legion when he was healed of 6,000 demons. Well, you're talking about bound up. No, I mean, there's people in the church that are so bound up. My word. They are so bound up and so... I mean, they're so bound up they can't even enjoy a message. It's got to be in a certain setting. It's got to be in a certain place. And I ministered in the suburbs for a good many years. And you have to have the tie on and you have to have your hair sprayed so that if someone hits you, you'd break it probably. See, but that's not the type of ministry that you can have down here on the north side. How many are hearing this? See, we can't get so set in our ways and so set in our seats that we're of no earthly good. We become critical. We become nasty. We lose our love. And we don't get the byproduct, which is joy. We become hard and cold and bitter and judgmental. Now try to have some joy out of that package. Come on now. Don't be afraid to laugh. You that are on the radio, a good gut buster is what people need. You ever have a gut buster? You know what I mean, a gut buster, when you feel like you're going to bust a gut? Now, ladies, don't mind my English. I can talk in high tones, too, but it doesn't get it across. I go right to the center of the thing. It's like when you get angry at your children, you tell them, now, shut up. Now, you don't do that in front of people. Oh, no, my goodness, no. We give them a little lesson on how to behave. But when we get them home, then we get real. And right now, we are home. We are in the church. Bring the message home. Make the message real. Hallelujah. Make that message so real, like it's just like you were at home. Don't play the part of church. Church is our home. Church is our life. Let's be realistic about it. If we want to have the joy of the Lord, we got to go through some kind of thing. We got to have a love to go through. Or like Paul. When the snake bit him, what happened to the snake? The snake died. Wow. Or like old John on the Isle of Patmos. Dipped him in boiling oil. Seeing the end and Jesus coming in glory. Whew. We're talking about reality. I'm not saying that you got to be French fried to see Jesus. And so now let's look at joy, our armor, our strength. Joy, the very byproduct of love. Let's run the hog in us over the cliff. And so the fruit of the Spirit. Love being the product, and having this product, we have the byproducts, I said. We have the joy and the peace and the good temper and the kindliness and the generosity and the fidelity and the gentleness and the self-control. Don't we all want those things? You cannot have them without love. You can practice them. You can grit your teeth. You can have white knuckles. You can have your veins popping out. You can be worried and sick and nervous on the inside trying to have those things, but you won't have them till you have love, and then it comes out naturally. It's called a flow of the Spirit. You just flow in those things. And so a lot of times we're talking of gifts and things like that, and we're thinking of some kind of a supernatural person. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about being a real person. Paul says, I show you a better way. A better way is to walk in love. These are the byproducts, I said, of love. The manifestation, if you will, of the inward power. Fruit to boot from the root. I said, fruit to boot, a lot of it. From the root, from the love tree, from the Lord. There is no other kind of love. If you ever try to love on your own, how long can you love? Until someone does something to you. It doesn't take much. They don't say good morning in the right way. What kind of a good morning is that? Just be happy you got one at all. Nowadays, be happy that you got one at all. Now, the product love produces these byproducts. Your love will actually create joy in others. Now, oh, thrilled my heart today. I was coming up here and I was just going to turn. I was on 50, by 55 there, like I told you ladies to turn. And a whole carload of people were there and they were beeping their horn. And they rolled down the window and I rolled down my way. Hey, Pastor Paul, can we come down and help on Monday? I said, wow, what a way to start the day. Well, I said, certainly you can come and help. Bible says, be like the serpent but gentle as a dove. There's a lot of way for fishing for souls. Don't you know that? But it thrilled my heart. Oh, glory, I thought. That brought me joy. See, when you love people, even if you have to do it mechanically in the beginning, do it anyway. God will give you credit for your faith and believing, even as mean as you are, if you just do it mechanically, that he'll say, okay, I'll manifest some love through you, and the people will get a hold of that, and they'll have some joy. Just do it automatically, I said at first. Exercise that right. Like a child beginning to walk. It isn't perfect at first. It's eeny, nonny, noo, noo at first, but as they go on. And so the first byproduct of love is joy. See, if you seek joy first, it will escape you. The sort of a worldly produced joy is, like I said Friday, wax fruit. You ever try to, okay, let's go out and have a good time. Let's have fun. Well, what is fun in the world? Well, you gotta have booze to have fun, you gotta pump it up, you gotta have some kind of drugs, you gotta have some kind of entertainment. Huh? Did you ever notice, even like, and I'm not downing the fair, that's fun to go to, but after 2 or 3 hours of it, I mean, like, I'm all done shuffling through all of that sawdust. Aren't you? And especially if you take all your family there and you're going out and you're going to say, okay, we're going to have a really good, let's all have fun today. How long do you think them kids are going to have fun tailing along after you? No, see, the joy is on the inside. It's something that's produced within. It's the salvation. It's the Lord in you. It's the byproduct. That joy is a byproduct of the love of God living in you. When we start to realize that and we focus our time and attention and love and direction on Jesus Christ, then I'll tell you something, folks. You're going to have that bubbling over joy. Say amen, somebody. Do you ever have those times when you have it? You can have it all the time. And it's done by showing your love. Give your love. Give your life. I found that out being down here. When I totally gave my life to the work of God, then you have joy. Oh, I'm not saying you're walking around like a Chessy cat all the time. But you do have that joy. And you do have that love. And it's contagious. It can be spontaneous. You can call upon it. Call down there and say, joy. Are you sleeping? I want you to awaken up now. And you start to call on the name of the Lord when you're in trouble. And the Bible says he will answer. Oh, glory. But you see, if you go out to love everybody in Jesus' name, I'm talking about, joy will seek you out. When you give love, people, when they see you, will have joy. Oh, there's so-and-so. Hi, hi, little kids. You ever notice that downstairs? Have you ever noticed how little kids respond? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just too much? They know instinctively when love is near. And they have joy. And what's the first thing they do? They put up their little arms and they start running towards you. Isn't that wonderful? I'd like to have you ladies come down sometime. How'd you like to come down, donate some time, and work in a mission sometime? I think you'd really enjoy that. Go on down and wait on folks and maybe get into the clothing area and do some witnessing down there and so on like that. And you know, as you start to give that away in a realistic way, and I'm sure you know this, I can see by looking at you, you know, you've had some living and you understand what I'm talking about. And as you start to do that thing, see, as we start to do as Jesus did, we become like Jesus. Do these things that you see me do, you will do, and even greater things you will do, radio audience. You will be automatically joyful. Isn't that good to go into automatic? Automatic pilot, you don't have to steer the thing and go all over. You're an automatic pilot. Automatically you have joy. Everybody wants to be happy. Isn't that what it's all about? Oh, I just so desire to be happy. Oh, if I could only be happy. There's only one way to be happy. What's that song? You'll find your happiness lies right under your eyes, back in your own backyard, in you. You've been looking all over for it, Christians. And you know something? Radio audience, tape ministry, people in here even. I'll tell you right now, it's right inside of you. Your happiness lies on the inward person. It's there. All you do is to believe. Hallelujah. And you will have automatically, you will have automatic, I'm saying, joy. But for the most part, people are very unhappy. Why is that? Why are people so unhappy? Oh, I don't know. I'm not too happy about that. No, I'm not happy about it either. What's that got to do with anything? Huh? I just can't be happy about that. You know why? Because they seek happiness in happenings. I said they seek happiness in happenings. And if something isn't happening that thrills their flesh, then they're not happy. I can hardly wait people. You ever been around somebody like that? Oh, I can hardly wait till tomorrow. I can hardly wait until I get married. I can hardly wait until the fair starts. I can hardly wait until I get out of school. I can hardly wait until I get that job. I can hardly wait until I make $1 million. Why wait? Why not learn to be content in whatsoever state that you're in? I mean, you're living in a 52nd state. Your happiness lies in your state of mind, in your state of being. And they spend 99% of their life waiting for something to happen. There's even people that say, praise God, it's Friday. They got it all over cups now. Praise God, it's Friday. Now I can finally be happy. They got the Monday blues, and Tuesday they don't feel good, and Wednesday they don't feel good, and Thursday they don't feel too good, but praise God, it's Friday. Saturday, for the most part, people are ornery and grumpy, and they got to go shopping, and oh man, what a misery. Then, okay, get the kids ready for church. Oh, how what a drag that is to a lot of folks, to get ready for church. You know why that is? Because for the most part, and like I say, I come out of suburbia. I come out of evangelizing, and I've been through all that piece of cream pie. I'm not against that, but it's just not for me, don't you see? For the most part, we as Christians need to get active in working. Are you hearing that, radio audience? You need to work out your salvation. You need to work it out. You need to be active. You know, Ron, down on your job, if you were down there and you weren't doing that job and you just sat all night, would you be happy? Ron? Would you be happy on your job if you just sat there all night? Okay, Ron, we're going to give you this, so many, tips and different things to make, which is a real important job to do this thing, and then you just sat there and didn't do it, you wouldn't be happy. But as you get to going on it, and you excel, and you make more and more than you did the day before, and more than you did the last week, and so on like that, you get happy. You know what? You go home content. It's just like listening to me today, at you on the radio, or maybe even in here. See, you can set up an attitude of, oh, let's just see what happens here. What kind of a person this is. Or you can receive me just the way I am in love. I'm going to receive you, you listening on the radio, even though your face looks like that. I'm going to receive you in love. It's hard. It really is hard. You on the tape, too. It's really hard. But I'm going to do it. Why can't we just receive each other the way we are? Because we have an idea of what a certain thing should be. This is the way it should be. I used to think that. There's a place for everything and everything in its place, my mother used to say. Drive me crazy trying to find out what place she wanted it in. But one thing she gave me, and that was direction. And she says, Paul, if you're going to be anything, be a real person. Be yourself in Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what people think. They're always thinking something anyway. Usually it's no good. Isn't that true about us? When we get into our own thoughts, Jesus says, the Bible says, my thoughts are way above your thoughts and my ways are way above your ways. Whew. Are they ever? Whoa. And so people are always asking each other, what's happening? Down here we say, what's happening, man? Right? Hey, what's happening, man? It's the way we talk. The lingo down here is a little different. Guy drove up and he was driving through the alley down there and he opened his car door and they have these tapes that are made in, London. I say, it said on the tape, your door is ajar. And I said, did you know what he just said? I said, it doesn't fit in here. He should have said, man, your door's open. Close it, fool. Then we'd understand that down here. There's a different kind of a lingo. There's a different kind of a... But it's all the same. And we have to learn to appreciate and accept each other the way we are. That's why, you see, there are so many prejudices. I don't know, something about that guy. I can't figure it out yet. But I will! Something about that girl. Well, what you don't like about that girl is you're jealous of them. Usually when we don't like something, we're envious of it. Usually when somebody is in a poor state of affairs, then we can like them. Oh, that poor soul. See, it doesn't bring you joy when you get prejudice in your thinking. You have to love everybody. Now, I suppose this message, you listening on the radio, it'll hit home. I hope it does. They're always looking for, where is it at? Where is it happening? They're always waiting, I said, for Friday. Well, what is Friday? I had a young man working with me, and he was on drugs. He said, boy, I'm sure glad it's Friday. That's because that's the day they fry their brains, Friday. And that young man, you remember, Deb? Years and years ago, I was having a meeting at the house. And a young man came in. It was so pitiful, you would not believe it. The guy was a vegetable. Total vegetable. Thank God it's Friday? Thank God for Friday? Oh, yeah. See, but happiness comes from inner relations, not from happenings. We grow in love. The inner relation that produces happiness, and we talk about love, and we say we should love one another, and we sing it. But many times we go after the byproducts without the product itself, love. Why do we do that? Because love requires change. You're listening on the radio. Maybe there's someone that you can't love, but the Bible tells you to love your neighbor. And so, if you want joy, you're going to have to love your neighbor. See, you're diminishing yourself. You're diminishing the returns. The Bible says, love your neighbor. See, we don't want to do that a lot of times because it requires change. We have to change. Self-denial. We don't want to deny ourselves. I can't deny myself hating that person. I've hated them for so long now, I get joy out of it. What kind of joy is that? No, it takes a death. I'm talking about in the biblical sense now. It takes a death. You have to die to yourself a lot of times. It's a very painful stepping over, a transition, a very painful one. It takes a growing. You have to grow up in it. It takes challenge. It takes, I said, death to the flesh, sacrifice. The Bible says he suffered for the joy before him. It takes inner conflicts. You may suffer insult and slander and even death. Kind of like an inventor. He invents something, everybody thinks he's a kook. Pretty soon they use what he's invented. The world right now is going to start to, like never before, turn around to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to see revival. All of this prosperity teaching is going, praise God for it, it's going down the tube. All this hyper-faith teaching is going down the tubes. Why? It is not gospel. There is no other message that will reach out and touch the world like the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me, you listening on the radio? I don't care if you come out of the prosperity teaching or the hyper-faith teaching or whatever you come out of, or all of this, things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the healing is within. How many are hearing this? It's the time right now to preach the gospel. People are wide open for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a dire need out there for the love of God, and the love of God is Jesus Christ given to people in a very realistic way. It says the Word became flesh and now it dwells in us and our flesh becomes the Word. We become that. We glorify God, it says in the Bible, by our body, in our body. But our love is our destiny. Ephesians 1 and 5 says that, destining us in love to become sons through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 says, make love your aim. Means make love your life's purpose. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12 says, the Lord make you increase and excel in love. So as it says, to strengthen your hearts. You feeling kind of faint-hearted? Well, the Bible says, don't get weary and faint. Weary not in doing well. Weary not, it means in the original Greek, weary not in giving out love. For in due season, you will reap a harvest. John, 1 John 4 and 11. Yet if we love each other, God does actually live, it says, within us. And His love grows in us towards perfection. Revelations 5 and 5. He has won the power of opening. To win that power of opening. Opening. He opens up the doors. Jesus is saying, won the power of opening because He was the Word become flesh. He entered in to this God, came down to earth. Would you say that was humility? Would you say that was love? Became flesh. And you know what? He succeeded. Because where knowledge knocks in vain, love enters in the lowly doors. The Bible says, knowledge puffs up. Well, you're too big and you're too puffed up to get through them little doors. But if you love, it says the more you are love, the more you're going to be hated, really, the original. When you love, you become small. When you become small, you can walk down that narrow road. Not only that, you can get in at the lowly door. But when you get puffed up in knowledge, oh, we can become so brutal when we're puffed up in knowledge.
There you have it. That was episode 298. That was part one of Joy. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Serve somebody. You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be.
you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.